Now, do you have a gun in your home? What about your neighbours? Would it bother you to know that they had one, two, maybe three or more firearms in their house? In New South Wales this week, the Greens obtained figures that took a lot of people by surprise. There are more than 850,000 privately owned guns in New South Wales, roughly one per person, and that's legally. There's an estimated 3 million guns registered across Australia. The National Firearms Agreement, or NFA, is currently under review. Now, that's the legislation that controls who can own a firearm and when and how they're allowed to use it. Most of us, of course, will remember the horrific events at Port Arthur when Martin Bryant shot dead 35 people and injured a further 21. The Howard government brought in the NFA in response to this tragedy. But almost two decades later, do we still need such tight restrictions for gun ownership? Federal Justice Minister Michael Keenan has said that the NFA was, quote, written in 1996 and as such may not accurately reflect the current operation of the legal firearms market. What do you think? We're going to take some calls on this. Do these figures surprise you? Does it change your perception of Australia as having some of the tightest gun control laws in the world? Or is it perfectly valid to have registered weapons held responsibly and used for legitimate reasons? We'd particularly like to hear from you if you have a gun or two at home and why do you keep them. So the number 1300 caller RN 225576, 1300 225576. Joining us now is David Shoebridge, the Greens member of the New South Wales Parliament who brought these figures to light, and also Jeff Jones, who's the National President of the Sporting Shooters Association of Australia. Welcome to you both.
Good morning, Gabby.
Good morning, Cassie.
Clearly, you both represent groups on either side of this debate. David, firstly to you, earlier this week you said that there's no need for ordinary suburbs to be bristling with thousands of firearms. Is that a fair description?
Oh, absolutely. There are suburbs in metropolitan Sydney, postcodes in metropolitan Sydney, which have more than 4,000 registered firearms in them. Parts of Sydney you wouldn't expect, like Mossman, have more than 1,100 firearms in them. And there are parts of regional New South Wales where there are up to 14,000 firearms in any individual postcode, areas like Dubbo and Tamworth and the like. Now, of course, there are legitimate reasons for primary producers, for farmers, to need to have access to one, two, or three, maybe a few more guns to deal with the range of issues they have on their property. But why do we have 4,500 guns in ordinary Sydney suburbs? And I think that's the real challenge. That it's hard to conceive of a legitimate reason to have just such large private arsenals floating around metropolitan Sydney.
Some of the figures that you released also indicated a big rise in the last decade. Any ideas about what is driving that?
Well, we've not only seen a rise in the last decade, more than 10% in the last 5 years, we've seen a 40% rise in the number of registered firearms since really the full impact of the buyback in 2001. Just over 600,000 registered firearms in New South Wales then, now to a bit over 850,000 registered firearms. And guns aren't like other like consumable products. They're not like, you know, hamburgers or motor vehicles. Once a gun is in circulation, they don't wear out and they're around forever. What's driving it? Well, I think we're importing in our media, through computer games. I think we are importing part of the toxic US gun culture. And when you add to that these loopholes in our firearm laws, the main one being that there's no restriction on the number of weapons people have. They can recycle the same genuine reason to get their first gun, their second gun, their 10th gun, their 20th gun, their 30th gun. And they become a paper member of a gun club. They become a paper member of a hunting club. They may have to attend one or two meetings a year. and then they can literally get access to unlimited weapons, and that's a loophole we've got to close.
Okay, well, we're taking your calls this morning on Life Matters. 1300 call RN, 1300 225 76. To you, Jeff Jones, you're hearing David Shoebridge say paper membership to sporting clubs. What do you say to that?
Well, specifically in relation to the New South Wales issue, which appears to be what has stirred the issue here, Cassie, is that members can't just be paper members of gun clubs. They actually have to meet certain attendance requirements and demonstrate genuine activity within a club, whether that be on a shooting range or whether that be in a hunting club. They have to demonstrate activity and even use and continuing use of those firearms. So I'm just not sure where that concept comes from.
From the constitution of the Inner West Hunters Club, for one. You have to attend 2 meetings a year and sign on to attendance, and that's all they need. I mean, and there are clubs that go out there actively say, for $50 you can get your membership, you only attend once or twice, no need to do more, you get your membership and you get your weapons. That's where it comes from, Jeff. You know what happens.
Well, that's a fair comment, David. I can speak with authority on the sporting shooters side of things, and I know our organisation takes their responsibilities very seriously, and the enforcement of the regulations in New South Wales, of course, is up to the police. So we certainly take that on board as it is.
Let's hear from Peter in Sydney. Peter, you own several guns in a hunting club. What's your opinion on this?
I thank you for taking the call. I find that myself or my friends, we have access to private property in rural areas where we're very welcome to go and shoot invasive species. You know, it's feral animal pest control, pigs, goats, deer, etc. I, listening to David's language, he calls them weapons. They're rifles or they're shotguns, and we're all professionals working in our own businesses or jobs. And I take issue with the thought that we should be limited in how many firearms we own, and that there's a value judgment made around that. And why should people who live in the city not own firearms? We have legitimate reasons to use them, and isn't that something, you know, for individuals?
So I'm guessing that you're thinking that the laws are strict enough. How well are they enforced, though?
Well, like everybody else, I get my safe is inspected each year by local police. I think that laws should be enforced very strictly, and I think that each time someone is found in breach of those laws, be they licensed or otherwise, they should, you know, be dealt with. But I don't think that one person's bad behaviour should condemn the lot of us. That I find abhorrent. Every time there's a shooting, you see the spike in anti-gun, anti-hunter, anti-shooting activity on social media, and it's just like, oh, not again.
Mm. All right. Okay, that's very clearly put. Thank you very much for that, Pete. To you, Bruce, in Mudgee. Now, you have guns on a farm, but you think the problem is not the registered ones.
Well, it is registered as well. I mean, I don't see the need for people to shoot kangaroos when they don't have permits to do so, which is what happens around me, with quite high-powered rifles too. And but no, one of the big problems is, like drugs, rifles are coming into Australia illegally, and you've got to look at customs, and you've got to look at the practices within customs that allow both drugs and guns. It's the same route. And I can go into pubs in the Central West if I know the right people, and I'll be offered weapons that you can't buy across the counter. So it's, and policing is not that strict. Believe you me, policing is not that strict. So this guy on before is in cloud cuckoo land. It concerns me because there's a lot of weapons out there that are not registered, and some of those weapons are quite high powered.
All right, well, thank you for that, Bruce. David Shoebridge, back to you, because this is a very strong argument, isn't it, that it's better to have them registered and have people checked out, have their suitability to own firearms kind of approved. Isn't it better that there are more registered?
Well, it goes without saying that if you've got firearms, they need to be registered. We don't have a prohibitionist stance on it. We recognise that there are people who have a legitimate need to access firearms, and we need laws that regularise that. But when you go to the evidence that the Australian Federal Police gave, and so did the Australian Institute of Crime, the Australian Crime Commission gave to a very recent Senate inquiry on this, they said that less than 1%, on their estimate, less than 1% of the firearms that find their way into the black market come from illegal imports. That overwhelmingly, the main source of weapons into the black market is leakage from the legitimate market, leakage from this growing pool of registered weapons. And, you know, you've got to listen to the Australian Federal Police, the Australian Crime Commission, the Australian Institute of Crime. A lot of people in the gun lobby like to say, you know, there's this, the problem is imports. Well, all the people who have looked at it, all those federal agencies who have looked at it, say it's not the case. It's leakage from this ever-growing pool of registered weapons.
In a moment, we'll hear Jeff Jones's response to that. We've got a number of calls waiting to get on air, but you give it, there is a bit of space. So 1300 call RN, 1300 225 576, if you want to add your voice to this discussion, as there is also going on Facebook, on the Life Matters Facebook page. I'll just give you an idea of the kind of range of opinions. Daisy says, I'm a female registered gun owner and I have undergone full security checks, training, etc. We must also be members of registered sporting clubs. We adhere to strict regulations regarding the storage of weapons. I enjoy the sport of target shooting. Typically, anti-gun people in this country are ill-informed of the processes involved and make assumptions. I'm a mother, a teacher, an avid gardener, a passionate bushwalker, and a regular cyclist, and I own a gun. Another one from Gail on the other side of the fence. I grew up in a house where there were firearms, and I hated it. I lived in fear that every time my parents had an argument, my father would use them. He hunted for food and controlled feral animals, but I would still have preferred that he did not have weapons, especially in such close proximity to the family. Do not relax the laws. That's from Gail. Jeff Jones, that is one of the real fears that people have. It's not, impossible that there is the event where in the family home they're not treated the way they should be. Do you think people are just being paranoid there?
Well, unfortunately, I do. There's always a risk of anything, Cassie, but that's why we're very supportive of the concept of individuals being properly monitored or properly checked initially and monitored, which they are under our very, very strict monitoring processes in every state before they can have a firearm. And the fact that our people are so strictly monitored that any complaint whatsoever, and that's on a complaint, in a domestic situation results in the immediate suspension of licences and the confiscation of the firearms. So that's how tough the situation is, providing complaints are made. Now, as I say, domestic violence, of course, is very high on the agenda at the moment, and our people, certainly licensed firearms owners, are subject to the most strict conditions in relation to this. Only needs a complaint. Nothing more.
Jeff Jays, it does seem to be the people who don't want guns, they don't care what kind of guns they are. They just want none of them around. And the people on your side of the debate say, well, there's this kind of gun and that kind of gun, and there's pump action, and there's all kinds of different layers of control. Isn't a gun just a gun?
Well, within reason, yes, it is. And again, we would suggest very much so that it's the person who should be responsible rather than the type of firearm. Now, I understand the issues of crime and the possible leakage. And in fact, we talked about leakage a minute ago. There's in fact less than 0.2% of registered firearms owners are subject to theft annually. So it's very, very, very low. So the number of firearms which are stolen are comparatively low in the grand scheme of things. And as I say, the use of those firearms are generally unsuitable for criminal activity anyway. They're principally sporting firearms, which, as I say, if they get into the grey market, in some cases, they may be used. The incidence is extremely low there again. The percentages just go down and down and down. The statistics from the Australian Crime Commission and the Australian Institute of Criminology indicate that the usage of firearms in any sort of illicit means is just exceptionally low. So, as I say, there is a level of unfortunate paranoia out there about firearms, and we recognise that people don't have to like firearms. It may not be their thing, but for those people who do own them and manage them and use them responsibly, they should not be subject to unnecessary, unreasonable and unfair restrictions.
Now, let's go to Tasmania and hear from Chris. Now, these stats that we hear Geoff Jones quoting from the Australian Institute of Criminology, you believe that that this is also a key part of this debate?
It certainly is. It's also part of a worldwide trend that in the Western world, homicide rates are certainly diminishing and have been in this country at least since the late 1960s. Even though we brought in very harsh and very strict controls from the mid-90s here as a reaction to the incident in Tasmania, that it hasn't necessarily done a great deal to influence these statistics in either way. There have been several spikes in the homicide rate since 1996. The fact is that there are now more guns in circulation in Australia, registered guns, than ever before, and certainly greater levels than we had pre-1996. That the overwhelming majority of people that own and operate firearms are legitimate people that use them for legitimate activity.
Okay, all right, thanks for that, Chris. To Bruce in New South Wales, you've had trouble getting a gun for your farm.
Yeah, I'm not that far out of Sydney, but I live on acres, and we do have quite a number of snakes, you know, that wander around, and I've just wanted to get a 410 shotgun, which is a very small firearm and everything, but I just want it to have near the house so I can protect. We've had a snake come in the house, you know, and things like that, but just for the security reasons of it. But for me to be able to get that, I've got to join clubs, I just want a gun being here, and it's virtually too hard for me to be able to get that, you know?
To comply with the yeah. initial conditions or the ongoing ones?
Well, the ongoing, initial and ongoing, you know, it's just, that I've got to go to. And the people, the laws can be brought in, how I feel, but the people that will go out and commit crime with a gun, it doesn't matter what law you, don't let us go like America or get anywhere near America. You're always going to have these people that it doesn't matter what law you have about speeding, about don't litter, about anything. You will still have the people that will do it, no matter what the law is.
Okay. All right, Bruce, thanks for that. And for the record, killing snakes with guns, there's different laws around the country, but generally they are protected species.
Generally shouldn't do it inside your house.
Inside the house is a definite no-no. To Victoria and Sabina, now you're the mother of an 18-year-old who goes out shooting with his mates. How do you feel about that?
Yes, hi. Just driving to work, listening to your talk back. Yeah, my son, 18-year-old country kid, his friend has a gun license and his family are shooters. Well, my son goes out with his mates and they go out shooting. They don't have licenses. He uses their gear. A couple of the mates, they all go up. It's great fun. It's boys' own adventure stuff. It terrifies the hell out of me that a major accident will happen. And I just believe the strictest rules around this possible need to be there.
Now he's 18. He can do what he wants.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that, Sabina.
Okay. Cheers. Thanks.
To you again, David Shoebridge, New South Wales Greens MP, you're talking about bringing in some regulations or some legislation before the Parliament in New South Wales to limit the number of guns that people can have access to. Tell us about that.
Well, when you look at the figures, there's one gun for every 9 residents in New South Wales. So that's not every 9 residents has a gun, because the average gun owner owns about 4 guns. But there are individuals who own 10, 20, 30, 40, there are anecdotal reports of up to 300 weapons owned by just one individual in one place. And of course, we're still struggling with the New South Wales Firearms Registry to actually get those figures into the public domain. But what I think really does concern people is the thought that their neighbour might not have just one gun or two guns, but their neighbour might have 10, 20, 30 or 40 guns. And the way the law currently operates is once you get your membership of a hunting club or you get your membership of a gun club, you can use that as a genuine reason to get your first gun, but then you can recycle that reason to get your second gun, your third gun, your fourth gun, your tenth gun, your 20th gun, your 50th gun, your 100th gun. And nobody is checking, and there's no check on whether or not you have a genuine reason for such an array of weaponry. And we think there needs to be a check. Now, where we put the figure, once you get 3 to 5 guns, then you should be establishing an exceptional reason to have access to more weapons. And I think there is a legitimate reason to differentiate primary producers, people on the land, from people in metropolitan parts of the state. But we need to be having a check so that we don't just have this endless accumulation of weapons. And, you know, I'd ask anyone to justify why someone needs 100 guns or 50 guns.
Okay, 50 guns. The idea of someone having 300 guns seems extraordinary. Jeff Jones, have you ever heard those kind of figures anecdotally?
Well, yes, I have. In fact, the premise that David puts forward, I think, is patently wrong. But yes, certainly people that do have a number of guns are generally approved collectors. Those people are come under different criteria to normal firearms owners. And there are very, very strict conditions on collections and storage of firearms. The level of storage and security changes and increases with the number of firearms that may be owned. So there are substantial checks and balances all through the system. I can only suggest that David possibly should actually apply for a gun license and actually go through the process of trying to get 50 guns and find out just how difficult it is.
One at a time, Jeff. You know that. You don't have to establish any different reasons for your 50th gun.
That is just not correct.
That's the way the law operates.
It does seem that we're a long way from any kind of agreement here, guys. We won't have time to get to all the calls that we have on the board, but just running through them, there's Chris from Melbourne saying doesn't like guns, but banning them doesn't stop criminals from getting them. Narelle in Wagga, who shoots clay targets as a sport, she says we have a totally different gun culture to the US. And also Peter in New South Wales, he's got a bet each way. He says he belongs to an anti-gun group, but owns guns on his property. So there you go. All right, well, we'll watch to see, David Shoebridge, how your introduction of this legislation for consideration goes, and keep an eye more broadly around the country. Thank you both for talking with us today.
That's my pleasure.
That's David Shoebridge, Greens member for the New South Wales government, and Jeff Jones, who's the national president of the Sporting Shooters Association of Australia. I'm Cassie McCullough. This is Life Matters. We can't...